Vodka O'Clock.
Hey everyone, it's Amber Love and you are listening to Vodka O'Clock. This is another episode which is a recorded panel from New York Comic Con, and it was the Comixology Submit program. It was actually called Comixology, the Future of Self-Publishing. On the panel, there was Josh Fialkov, Chuck Forsman, Bethany Romero, Ruben Romero, John D. Roberts, who's the founder of Comixology, and it was moderated by Marketing Vice President Chip Mosier. There were some really key points in here in this discussion. If you are interested in the Submit program as an indie creator, you need to go research this stuff yourself because the terms do change once in a while. As you may have heard, Amazon bought out Comixology, and they insist that they are still autonomous and that they retain their own comics culture. So it was a really positive and uplifting discussion panel to sit through. I mean, even poor Josh Fialkov was very sick. And even just listening to his story, though, about how he's been published everywhere from Marvel, DC, IDW, Archaea, and Boom, like, he's extremely successful. And he got rejected and turned to the Comixology Submit program. So these are the kinds of stories that I think indie creators really should listen to and talk to each other and network with each other, because it can get very depressing. So many, you know, you need to learn to handle the rejection and, you know, just find a different path to get your story out there. So the Comixology Submit program is one of those ways. I know several people who have used it, and I think it's an incredible outlet to reach an audience that just offering your files on your own website would never do for you. So give this a listen. And of course, you know, you can send your feedback to me. I'm on Twitter at Elizabeth Amber. And I know that the Comixology staff is extremely responsive. Anytime I've had a problem with just purchases, they get back to me immediately. So, you know, things that I thought would take days to resolve, they've resolved in a matter of hours. So it's definitely something that impressed me greatly from when they first launched and I was scared to death of digital comics. So if you're like me, then, you know, perhaps the tide has turned and you've, you know, seen what the experience can be like.
Welcome to Comixology Submit, the Future of Self-Publishing panel. Thank you for coming. So I'm going to introduce myself and the panelists in this presentation. We're going to go through a couple of things about the Comixology Submit platform, and then we're going to go back to the panelists and talk to them about their experiences with Submit. On my very, very, very far left.
Right.
The man who needs no right?
Oh. Your other
left. Already failed.
Their left, your right.
Yeah, thank you. Anyway, Joshua Fialko, man who needs no introduction.
What? I was promised an introduction, Chip.
We can introduce you later. Don't start with me this early. To Joshua's, hang on, I have a left-right problem. Hang on,
is it? My left.
To Joshua's left, I have Charles Forsman, publisher of Oily Comics and TEOFTW. That has been published by Fenny Rapids Books.
Yep.
It's a bestseller, I believe.
Oh, well, they're out of them. So
there you go. There you go. Charles, I believe you can say the full title. I don't think I'm allowed to.
Am I allowed to?
Is there anyone under 18 here?
Yes.
Okay, please do.
It's the end of the something world.
And then we have Bethany and Ruben Romero, writers and co-creators of the agency.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi, everyone.
And then John D. Roberts, who's a co-founder of Comixology and director of Comixology Smith. myself. I'm Chip Mosier of the VP of Communications Marketing at Comixology.
Need too much coffee, man. He's the star of his own comic. He wants people to read his comic, but doesn't know how. Creators like this inspired us at Comixology to build Submit. Comixology Submit gives creators everywhere the opportunity to showcase and make that their own. What are you waiting for, too much coffee, man? Go ahead and submit.
So how many people in the audience were familiar with Comixology Submit before coming to this panel? How many people are not familiar with Comixology Submit at all? So Comixology Submit is Comixology's self-publishing platform. It's a platform where you can take your finished work, your comic, graphic novel, or manga, upload it to our platform. We curate your work for quality, both file quality and content. It's a 5-year contract, it's a 50-50 profit split that's not exclusive. And that was the little commercial that we did with Shannon Wheeler, the creator of Too Much Coffee Man. And this is what submit.comixology.com looks like. We premiered and debuted Comixology Submit at South by Southwest in 2013. And since its inception, we've put up 2,000 comics, graphic novels, and manga on our platform, with over 100,000 pages released. We have works from 33 countries and 6 out of 7 continents. I need glasses. We're waiting for a submission from Antarctica.
Who's moving to Antarctica for us?
No one?
Three. Pay us.
We got one.
Pay us to do it. We'll do it.
So far in 2014, Comixology Submit on the Comixology platform is number 3 in overall content released, number 5 in all downloads of content released, and number 10 in gross revenue. And recently we passed 1 million downloads of Comixology Submit titles. So when you submit your work and get accepted through Comixology, we feature you on our feature page. We send out review copies to select people in the press, and this year we've done 3 bundles aggregating 80 to 100 books from the Submit program and offering them for $10. It's been very successful for us. We started doing this at South by Southwest at the 1-year anniversary. We can continue to do this again at Comic-Con International this past July, and recently at SBX, we did a bundle that was also wildly successful. So who here is interested in creating comics, or is currently creating comics?
Wow.
New York.
And who here wants to put those comics up on Comixology? So why don't we start with Josh,
what?
Who's the bomber.
I am so sick. I want everyone to know that all my behavior should not be taken for anything, because I'm really sick. So if I stop...
Did you take any cold medicine?
I did, and not take a sleepy time, which is unfortunate, because my God, did I use sleepy time.
Okay.
My apologies. Go ahead, Chip. What did you want to ask me, Chip?
So the bomber.
Yeah, I knew that book.
So you co-created with Joe Infernari.
There you go, perfect.
And it debuted on Comixology Submit in 2013.
It did.
I believe issues 1-5 made up our best seller.
Yes. I believe it was 5 to top 10.
Yes. And so...
I'm waiting for a question, Jim.
Why did you choose to put the bunker up on Comixology Submit?
So I've been making comics for, this is my 14th year making comics. And I've done graphic novels that self-published. I've worked for Random House published a graphic novel of mine, Marvel, DC, Archaea, Boom, IDW. Like, I work for everybody. And, you know, I do
work that's sort of outside the purview of a lot of publishers. I do odd stuff, I do complex stuff. And Bunker was a project that Joe and I, you know, we created it together and we were in love with it. And it just was so exciting to us. And we would pitch it, we pitched it to a bunch of publishers. And both Joe and I both have Eisner nominations, we both have Harvey Award nominations. And you know, we have track records, like we've been selling books for, each of us have been working for more than a decade. And one particular publisher, who will remain nameless, we pitched them Bunker, and the response that came back was, there's no audience for a book this smart. And I got really, really, really got in that. Like, I was so angry about it, because it's just not true. Like, first of all, I'm not that smart. I'm very dumb. For example, how I gave myself worse food by just not sleeping for 2 days. Like, it really just not cool. But, you know, beyond that, like, there is an audience, like, comics is made up, specifically comics, is made up of the smartest people in the world just by nature of the fact that we read. Like, just by reading, we're, like, way above, like, normal people. So to say that there's no audience, it literally, we stopped talking to publishers. Like, I was so mad that I was like, I'm going to show you because I'm going to do this myself. Like, Joe and I are going to put together our limited resources and we're going to put this out into the world. And we're going to show you that there's no audience. And so while we were doing that, it was, you know, submitted, just started, and was sort of gaining steam. And, you know, so we decided, and we talked about it, and what we decided to do is we were going to release it digitally ourselves, and then also, like, so we did PDF downloads on our own site, and through Comixology. And, so obviously, there was two results from that. One is we self-published it, which led to a four-way bidding war for the television rights. Like, we literally had people fighting with each other, and, like, money flying back and forth was crazy. So, like, that's something that happened because of the book that everyone take a chance on, and it happened because we controlled it, and because it was our book. So we didn't have a publisher saying, well, I'm going to be the executive producer, despite having nothing to do with the book or Hollywood at all. You know, so, like, we got to actually have the power to control it. And number two, because we put it into the market, we got to show people, like, there is a market. You know, we very quickly became, like, the week it came out, I'm really rambling, I'm sorry, I'm very concise. The week it came out, I was writing an event for Marvel called Hunger, which is Galactus eating the Ultimate Universe, which when you hear it, like, that sounds awesome. It's so cool. I want to read that book. That's Rick James. He goes to Shake Jack. Anyway. But so that book came out the same day, or the same week as Bunker. And if you looked at the Comixology top 10, Bunker was number 5 or number 4, and Hunger was number 6. And I literally had it. It was like, I remember I called Chip and I said, like, I've been doing this wrong. Like, why have I been wasting my time working for other people when I could be working just as hard for me and I actually benefit from it? You know, so all that hard work and all the fighting and everything we did, like, my life is so much better because of it. Whereas, like, I worked for Marvel DC for 5 years, and, like, it was fun, it was a good thing, paid my mortgage, paid my bills, but, like, by focusing on myself, by using the resources that Comixology offers, like, I got to build the career that I wanted instead of the career that you're given. Because the career that you're given is never the career that you want.
So Josh, I believe the panel...
I'm sorry, what was the question, Chip?
I believe the panel that we did a couple weeks ago, I think you succinctly wrapped it up as Comixology Submit changed your life.
Did I say that? I'm going to go with what Chip says.
We're putting it on the website.
Whether it's true or not.
Just a picture of me smiling.
Yeah.
So, Chuck, can you tell us a little bit about Oily Comics? It's your,
it's the word that's...
Micro press, is that what they call it?
Yeah, that's the word that's...
And you're a cartoonist yourself that publishes Oily Comics, publishes other people's work through your micro press.
Yeah. So I went to the Center for Cartoon Studies, and there, The whole curriculum is about self-publishing and making publications and doing it by hand, the whole shebang. So I came out of there self-publishing since 2007, so I've been doing that. And about 2 years ago, I started Oily Comics. I started doing serializing this little mini comic, The End of the Something World, and the reaction I got was really big. So that made me start Oily Comics. I asked my friends, you know, all these artists that I love, I figured I could make, I could get people to see them. Since more eyes were coming to me, I wanted to have my friends get those eyeballs too. And so that's what I do. I do my own comics and I publish my friends. And they're all like printed in my house, and I fold every single one of them. And then Submit came along. Like, I got a tablet, and that changed my view of digital comics. I wasn't against them or anything. I just never thought I would ever read like that. But once I had a big enough screen on a tablet, it was like, oh, okay, I get it. So now I read tons on there. And you know, I live in like all comics. That's where I play, and it's really easy to be secluded in that. And Submit for me was an opportunity to get in front of different eyeballs, because you know the stuff I get isn't, you know, the stuff I print gets in like 20 comic shops. Diamond's not gonna, you know, distribute mini comics, which is fine, whatever. But
all the mini comic distributors, all the mini comic distributors are gone now, right?
Yeah, well,
Skullcuts still around?
No,
Tony Shenton's the last.
I use Tony Shenton, who's like a one-man machine, I don't know how he does it, and I use John Porcelino's Fitman. And they do great work, they get them in a lot of shops. So for me, I'm interested in crossing over into a different audience. So for me, Submit was like a great way for me to be, to get my books in front of different eyeballs that would never see my books.
And we have a ton of your books in the SPX bundle. Have you gotten any response from that from fans or?
Yeah, definitely. I've heard it mentioned on, you know, some of the books mentioned on podcasts and stuff. And, you know, I'm hoping the artists are getting emails and stuff. But yeah, I always get reactions from people like, you know, sending me emails like, "Whoa, this is amazing!" This stuff. So it's good. I think it's, you know, I'm probably not selling a ton of books, but it's, you know, it's getting in front of new people, which excites me.
And then one of the Oily books that I really liked is Tell God to Blow the Wind from the West, which is a story about 9/11, which just, you know, put my hair on end. It's just it's amazing the hair I had left.
Yeah.
So Reuben and Bethany, you know, tell us a little about the agency and the Submit process for you guys.
Well, the agency is essentially Harry Potter meets Mission Impossible minus the wands. So our government has created an agency called the International Agency of Magic to kind of combat magical terrorists. So we had a different situation. We, you know, unlike these prestigious gentlemen with these elaborate, wonderful careers, I think it's important to kind of reiterate to everyone in the audience that doesn't have that training or that background that you can still submit on Comixology. It's still available to everybody out here that just wants to put their story out there like we did. 3 years ago, we came up with the idea to put this book out there. We tried and tried again very many times to make sure that the book was to the level that we wanted it to be as far as artwork and story. Went back to the drawing board many times, and we were actually lucky enough to have a publisher that gave us the opportunity to publish the book. But we felt like, again, like he was saying, that we might as well do it on our own and just kind of see what's out there, because nobody's going to put the love into your book like you are. So if you don't have all of these great opportunities or all this lengthy career, you can still put your story out there by Submit, you know, through Comixology. It is a wonderful, wonderful platform that gives, you know, independent comic creators that avenue to be able to put their books out there for the entire United States and more to see something that you would have never been able to do.
Yeah, right. I mean, like she said, like she mentioned, you know, we don't have, you know, 14, 15 years in the industry. We started off as screenplay writers, and unfortunately, our imaginations don't let us write independent movies, you know, 500 Days of Summer, you know, quirky love stories, stuff like that. We think really outside of the box and just big budget type of deal. And we just thought, what a better way to move, you know, what a better medium to use than comic books to tell our stories. And unfortunately, you know, we did have, you know, we were fortunate enough to have a publisher who said, this story is great, I want to put it out there. But once we started doing that, it just didn't feel like they were putting the right amount of love and attention into it. And, you know, Comixology Submit really did give us the platform to do that, really gave us, you know, the opportunity to not only put it out there, to get it in front of eyeballs that would have never seen it, but also just making sure that we were giving them the right amount of work, you know, the quality of work that should be put out there. So not only do they give you the opportunity, but they make sure that, you know, the property is up to standard.
Yeah, that's one thing that I will have there. It's not, I mean, I'm sure every publisher or opportunity like that is selective, but the best part that I've experienced with Comixology is that their critique is constructive criticism to improve your viewers' experience. So everybody thinks their own book is great. That's, if you don't write your book, you know what I mean? So I think the important thing is that they give you the feedback that the audience is going to get to improve so that you can put the best possible product out there. I think that that's amazing. That's something that we did not get from anyone else. It kind of felt like, okay, yeah, we'll put your book out there, the artwork is great, whatever happens, happens, but I think that they really nurture the writers and the audience so that both people have the best possible experience.
On that note, John.
Yes, Chip, what can I tell you?
So what happens when people submit products with books with using Comic Sans for lettering?
Comic Sans. Yes, we reject books with Comic Sans in it because Comic Sans is not an industry standard font. You never see a comic from Marvel and DC using Comic Sans. If they're not using it, there's probably a very good reason as to why. And lettering is probably one of the things that people tend to underestimate the most, but happens to be one of the most important aspects of your comic. I've seen some of the most impressive comics, most professional looking, amazing artwork, and then they use Comic Sans, and it just makes it look like so amateurish. And then some of the other issues that we had, you know, like as Bethany was saying, you know, one of the goals with Comixology Submit is just not to like put up anything that comes up. We want to make sure that what we're presenting is the best experience for the creator, it's the best experience for the consumer, and it's the best experience for us, Comixology. So we make sure that when you give us a PDF file, we make sure that there's no artifacting and pixelation, you know, that the colors are bright, the lines are crisp, the lettering is not Comic Sans. you know, we want to make sure that we've even caught spelling, grammar, and typographical errors. I remember one book, the creator told me that he has had the book in print for 10 years, and we were the first people to ever catch one of his misspelled words. You know, it's all about making sure that you know, I mean, because honestly, you guys are sitting next to, you know, professional, you know, big name publishers like Marvel, DC, Image. You know, we want to make sure that you have as much chance as they do. And if we're just taking like your heavily artifacted and pixelated books and putting them up, that's not doing you any good, and it's not doing us any good, and the consumers are not going to benefit at all.
And John, what's the biggest stumbling point that you come across in the curation process that hinders people's books from coming out in a timely manner?
So production issues, primarily artifacting and pixelation, and then there are some other ones that are the biggest problems that we have. Adobe Acrobat, the default settings of Adobe Acrobat for TIFF files compresses the images so poorly that if you simply use the default settings of Acrobat, you produce a PDF file you cannot use. So we have some settings on the website that help you change that. You know, when you submit your book, we point out these issues. We give you advice on how to fix them. Another issue that we have is that people like to open up InDesign, use the default 8.5 by 11 setting, and they stick their comic right in the center of it. And what that does is it produces a comic that has a huge white frame around it, which looks horrible. So there are a lot of things that, we're working very hard to like streamline the process. We're working hard on getting great feedback. We recently upgraded our systems to help us communicate that better to people so that we can get them in and out faster. We just recently updated our FAQ with information on how best to handle these situations. Because the idea is like we want you to feel like this is a good experience. We want you to feel like you're getting what you need. We recognize these are problems, and we just want to make sure that we're presenting your content in the best light possible.
So that's not something the customer, the upgrades that that rolled out for Submit this week, it's not something that would be surfaced to the customer.
No.
It's something that for the creators using the system.
It's more for the review process. Yeah, we've updated some of the, like we recently updated our financial information. One of the benefits that we had with our acquisition by Amazon is that we are now paying, there's no minimum threshold for electronic deposits. So, yes, so every we pay quarterly $5, so there's no, previously there was a $100 threshold to get a check. Now there is no threshold, so you receive payment regardless of what it is, as long as it's electronic transfer. Oh, thank you.
I believe there are some exceptions for some international.
There are some exceptions for international creators. You have to be in one of the SEPA countries. We have all of this information on our website and in the FAQ. We recently sent out an email with this information as well. You can, and when you present your financial information, you'll also be presented with this information.
I believe there were some other resources added recently.
Oh,
my leading question.
Yes, we've increased the number of people reviewing content so that we can actually get through it in a more timely fashion. Submit is a big thing for us, it's a big thing for Amazon, so we want to make sure that we're making this the best experience possible. So, the average turnaround time for a comic, for most comics, is 6 to 8 weeks. If there are problems with your UPA file, that'll slow things down, so your mileage may vary. But with Bethany, I know Bethany, you guys had problems with your comic that you had to work through.
Right.
We did. Our first issue, like you said, we did have the white margins around it. There's a lot of learning curve that comes with, especially digital publishing. When you print something, you think it's perfect, but it's not. It doesn't translate the same way in a digital platform. So you do have to take those things into consideration. And I, like I said before, they're very helpful in the critique to make those changes. So we did experience some issues when we first submitted that we were able to correct and still get our book out there on time at the same release date that we were aiming for.
I should point out something that you mentioned. One of the things that, so there's a huge difference between print comics and digital comics. When you get to the end of a print comic, it's very obvious that it has ended. When you get to the end of a digital comic, especially if the final panel is a little bit vague, it's not as obvious that the comic has ended. And because it's digital, some people may think that, wait, this is broken, I'm missing the rest of the story. So one of the things that we have to push back on is making it obvious that the story is over by adding like a to be continued or putting a page at the end that clearly indicates that the story has ended. Because in digital, with all of the technical glitches you can have, like when someone ends on this like really quick, quirky half sentence, you don't know that that's how it's supposed to end, and you think that there's more, and then all of a sudden, our customer service team is being inundated with people saying, where's the rest of my book?
Well, it seems like there are a lot of people here that want to use Comixology Submit, so I thought that we'd open up and use the rest of the time for questions. Do we have any questions? Yes, sir, the white.
What file formats do you guys accept, and is there a maximum download size?
It's you have to upload a PDF file, and I think the maximum is around 1 terabyte.
1 terabyte.
Yeah, we want high quality PDF files. use JPEGs. You want to use TIFF files, and you want to use uncompressed TIFF files if possible. If you have to use compression, only use LZW compression. Never use JPEG. It just artifacts way too easily.
John, can you repeat the question for the audience?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
And the answer.
And the answer. The question was, what file formats do you accept? We accept PDF files, and preferably, when you make your PDF file, use high-res TIFF files, not JPEGs, preferably with the lettering layer in a vector format and not merged and rasterized with the TIFF file.
What you should do, this is a pro tip, hire people who know what they're doing. No, it's a funny byproduct of comics because they are really easy to do by yourself. Like, it's not super hard to do, so people tend to think like, well, I'll save money and do it myself. But here's the thing, is that you can get a prepress person and you can get a letterer, and usually they can be the same person, and it does not cost you that much more money, and you don't have to think about it.
Are there resources for that that you'd recommend, Josh?
Sure, there's Digital Webbing. You can also look around. I recommend looking at books that you like, small press books specifically, and looking for people who work on them, because usually they will have at least a Twitter account, if not also an email address, where you can email them. And the thing about comics that's really cool is we're all pretty nice. So you can just walk up to us and say, hey, do you know any letterers? And we'll think, who do I know who needs work? And then we'll give them to you.
And they won't use Comic Sans.
They won't use Comic Sans.
Bethany, you were about to say something?
Oh, no, that's what we do also. Our colorist actually resizes all of our files, because I'm not sure if a lot of you are very computer savvy. If you are, the best of luck to you guys. Good for you. We're not so much. So we write all the stories, all the explosions and magical stuff is fun. But when it comes to making, you know, everything that he just said about PDFs, and we get a little bit lost. So do utilize your resources if you have them available to you.
And we do have a microphone over there. I mean, any of y'all want to stand up?
Can you push it throughout the, I should plug Richard's book. I'm sorry. There's a book that Richard Sargent's published. It's called Comic Book Lettering in the Comic Craft Way. And it's like 10 years old, but it is, because Illustrator doesn't change. If you're going to be a small press comic creator, even if you have no interest in lettering, spend $10. He's here. He has a bootleg indeed.
And Richard Starking's famous,
one of the creator of digital lettering. He's
and
Bobby.
Lettered The Killing Joke, I believe, and other seminal comic book works.
He did Watchmen.
Elfman, yeah. Next question.
So you said that there's a 5-year contract. What's the entitlement to that? Do you have to submit books, perhaps a number of months, or one month, all stuff? Or is it just a 5-year or one submit?
So the question is that, so the contract for Comixology Submit is a, it basically gives us the right to sell your content for 5 years. It is a non-exclusive contract, which means that you are free to go anywhere else that you would like to distribute it. Some of the benefits that Chip had mentioned earlier is that we promote submit books on the homepage. There's a dedicated submit page. We're also working on new features. We have a newsletter. In the weekly newsletter, we feature submit titles. We have a monthly dedicated newsletter talking about the best of submit that comes out every month. We provide review copies to press websites the week prior to the book coming out, so that they can be reviewed. Some of the sites that review are IGN, their Fantafix blog does weekly reviews, and PipeDreamComics.co.uk also does weekly reviews. They also like to stalk submit creators.
So that's a benefit.
That guy outside. No, in a good way.
And
John, what's the hashtag that you use?
Oh, the hashtag is CXSubmit. Yeah, every week, for all the submit creators, we send out an email that provides the submit creators with a lot of information, a unique URL that you can use to promote your book, as well as a sample tweet and some other information on how you can actually promote your book on social media.
Cool.
Yeah, don't let the 5-year contract that number scare you. Don't think, oh my God, this is such a huge task, big large amount I gotta plan. I mean, they're really there for you. I mean, we're not just saying that because we're part of Comixology Submit team or the Comixology Submit, but we're saying it because we're independent creators who really didn't know what we were doing. We were a lot like you last year, sitting outside, you know, and looking in, saying, I want to create a comic book. And because of them, we've been able to build an Instagram audience, a Twitter audience, and, you know, they really, you know, step by step, they're there for you. So again, the 5-year contract, you know, that's not such a big deal. It's more about just focusing on your story, making it the best that it can be, and then getting it up on there so that Comixology can help you, you know, take those next steps.
Next question.
Yeah, I wanted to ask that.
Can you speak up, please?
I wanted to ask that, do you guys copyright our work or protect it, or do we have to do that before we submit?
You would have to do it yourself. We, again, it's a 5-year non-exclusive contract. We take absolutely no rights whatsoever, which is one of the things that Josh liked, you know, because you're free to do whatever you want. All trademarks and copyrights, you know, you have to maintain yourself. There's things online that you can find about that, dummy guides and online resources.
If you just go to uscopyright.gov, it costs $35 and takes 5 minutes. And there's inherent, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but there's inherent, just by having it published with your name and it actually being your content, you kind of inherently have copyright protection. Like, it's not great, but technically it would theoretically hold up the court.
Next question.
Yeah, hi, how you doing? My name's Mike Rue. I created a brand called Elflandia.
You did what?
I created a brand called Elflandia, is what it is. I've got about 20,000 followers in roughly 3 months or so.
Wow.
On social media. Great story, fantastic art. Very much interested in talking to you guys offline here. So my main question is that we talked to a lot of publishers, and the publishers are interested in publishing. They're not really interested in marketing. I want to know a little bit more about what you guys do. You have a marketing plan. What do you do? How do you work with content creators, that sort of thing? I'm obviously marketing.
Well, it's like John said. When the book comes out, we let you know that the book's coming out, so you can promote it on your social channels. You can let your friends know. We have a carousel on the front page of our website where we feature the Comixology Submit books. We have an email that goes out every week. We have an email that goes out monthly. We have review copies that we send out of all the books going out every week.
We also include all of the Submit books in the new releases category on the website. So you're in there with everything else. If the book is day and date, you get to appear in the day and date book. I mean, the day and date.
How many subscribers do you have currently?
A lot.
Well, 10,000 or 100,000.
So how's that work? When we did our Bunker, I was really hung up on, like, I'm going to do DRM-free, it's going to be on our website, because that's what people want. You know, like, I was really, like, that's how people want it. Because you read Boing, or you read those websites, and everyone talks about, oh man, like, it is this cop that how they DRM our files, and how they control them, and lock those destroyers. We sold 20 times more comics on Comixology than we sold on our own site. And, as much as I love these guys, I promoted our site. Like, our site was a gateway to go to Comixology.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And not exaggerating.
Yeah.
20 times more. And we sold a lot of comics on our own, too. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this is the biggest market. I don't think they can say this because they work for the company, but like, this is the biggest market in digital comics. This is the place. You know, they have a big audience, and you're not going to get bigger. And it's not exclusive, so there's no downside.
No, what I'm hearing a lot of the format, because I've looked at a lot of publishers, and the format that you have is very attractive.
And to the marketers, if you have 20,000 followers, like, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 20,000 followers in 3 months, you're set. You're good. Keep going. You're
sometimes
doing great.
You get 100 a day. Right?
No, like, you know, the reality is that nobody markets your stuff like you do.
Exactly.
Nobody will ever care about your work as much as you do.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how much money they will never be as passionate about your work as you are.
Right. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Well, we got 5 minutes left. Let's see how many questions we can
The man with the skin condition.
Don't judge.
What is that?
It's a puppy hump.
I caught monkeys. A monkey hump would have been better.
Puppy hump, if anyone tries to hit you, then they're a bad person. Puppies, that's animals.
You have 4.5 minutes for your questions.
So my question is, I remember reading from like the users of the Comixology submit that they don't get to see like, you know, sales reports until like, you know, the quarter. Is that true? Is there any intention to change that?
Oh, that there's every intention to change it, but that is true. At the moment, sales reports go out with the payments, which is quarterly net 45. But just know this is probably our most requested functional request, so we will be addressing it.
And the other question I have.
And every mainstream every publisher pays to get your statements quarterly. You know, like every publisher that you deal with, every distributor you get. Yeah.
And my other question was, ever since you were purchased by Amazon, like how much longer are you going to stay, you know, completely separate from them? Are they going to absorb you and then use your technology for Kindle?
Our goal is to separate. I mean, we're an Amazon subsidiary now. Just like Audible, you know, we're going to remain separate. We're going to maintain our own culture. We're going to maintain everything. There's no plans for that to change anytime soon.
You're going to go to the opera.
Yeah.
Great. And can we get to the next person, please?
I was wondering, since I'm primarily an illustrator for comics, what is your policy regarding like an open source story? Like, I wanted to do a collection of comics, like one shots as a series of like forgotten fairy tales, for example.
Well, there's Tom McDonald has done two volumes of cautionary fables, like fairy tales from Europe and Africa. It's all public domain stuff, so that's fine. No issues with that.
So, just a question back for you. Do you have a tablet?
I do have a tablet, but I need a Kindle.
Well, why don't we give you a Kindle? HDX. Two minutes, 18 seconds to see how many questions we can get in.
Okay, question.
No pressure.
As someone who wrote webcomics, I've gone from being webcomics to going to Comixology Submit. I was wondering if you could speak to, do you still encourage people to post like, you know, X number of pages a week as they do with webcomics? And if they're now on Comixology Submit, is there any advising you have in that regard?
That's a really tricky situation. It's not one that we really have an answer for. I mean, it's so you have this webcomic.
John, could you repeat the question?
Sorry, the question is, in regard to webcomics, should you continue creating your webcomics, or should you just distribute completely through Comixology? Do you have it right?
Or starting out?
It's difficult because, people like free stuff. So, if you were giving it away for free, if they're patient enough, I mean, it's just like grinding in video games, instead of having to pay for the upgrade, you're just going to continue to labor at it. To be honest, I don't know.
Well, we were on in Long Beach, we're on David Gallagher, who does digital comic.
Yeah, Only Living Boy.
Only Living Boy, and he distributes it through Comixology, and he's very happy.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to you. You should do what you want. We have people who do webcomics that are offered for free that we sell tons of copies of on Comixology Submit. 42 seconds.
Damn. Real quick, Josh touched on this. Do you have a resource for people, like an artist who can't write or writers who can't draw? Do you have any place to link people up? Or is that more of like, cause I know there's resources out there, there's people on the floor that we.
That's your job. That's your job.
Right.
So it's 14 years and I'm still doing it. I still walk around, out of town, I still meet people, I still look at people.
Okay.
One website that I particularly like for that is digitalwebbing.com.
Yeah, digitalwebbing. Good site. They're nice to meet.
Complicated question.
in 30 seconds, but what sort of control over revenue stream does the creator sort of retain, like especially in terms of like bundle sales and things like that? Can you choose not to participate in those? Because obviously that would affect your profits. So, I'm just wondering.
If I understand the question correctly, you're asking whether you can participate in bundle sales?
Or specifically opt out of them if it feels like it would like really hurt your revenue stream.
It is, at the moment, bundle sales is completely voluntary. You have to opt in. So it's you know, if you don't want to do it, you don't have to do it.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And that's it. Sorry. Real quick, come on.
It's our app, so it's if people are directly linking to or store the submit books, they can have exceptions that are not sort of distracted by multiple big functions.
So the question is, are we planning on a submit specific app? That's a good idea. We hadn't really thought about it. So.
We'll take it under advisement. Thank you all so much.
Thank you
for coming.